everyone. This is Shervie Martinin and Rex Lesser with Bancorp Insurance in beautiful La Pine, Oregon. Today we have a very special guest. It's David Gritz. Not only is he the co-founder of InsureTech New York, he's also a part of InsureTech Fund, which funds InsureTech in the industry. And he is a leading speaker on the topic of insurance technology and how it is changing our industry and insurance in general. David, welcome to our show. We are so excited to have you here today.
Thanks for having me. Really looking forward to our discussion today.
So the very first thing we started talking about before we even started recording was wildfire zoning. So for those who don't know, a lot in the West Coast, we're having issues with insurance companies not interested in writing certain risks anymore or homes due to their location near forest fire prone forests or just in a more rural setting in general. So one of the questions we had for you, David, was how is InsureTech and all of this new technology that's coming out going to change the underwriting for insurance in the future? And how is that going to affect wildfire zoning for our property? Yeah. This is for businesses and homes and all of us over here on the West Coast.
So wildfire is certainly a hot topic these days, pun intended. And in order for us to really make a major difference in the environment and protection available from customers, there's really two areas that InsureTechs are solving problems and bringing technology into the space. The first, and I think arguably most important, is the way that they do underwriting to be much more precise. So traditional insurance carriers use large models from RMS, Verisk, CoreLogic, or other major data providers that tend to essentially look at historical data and project that forward, but they don't necessarily take into account very granular block-by-block data. And that's ultimately where the InsureTechs come in. InsureTechs have the ability to send people out on an individual property or block-by-block basis to do inspections and determine what are the risk factors for every individual house. And by looking at it at such a granular level, you could write a house in Los Angeles, for example. So you think about that fire that was on the 101. And I had a friend who fortunately or unfortunately lived in a neighborhood which burned down. But, you know, his house did not burn down. But two houses up the road completely burned down. I remember visiting a few weeks after the fire, and you could see all the way through the house to the backyard. It was just charred. But when you looked at his house, there was literally no fire, not even the roof was even singed. And the reason why was two things. One was he got lucky. He happened to have his sprinklers flood the yard 2 days before just by sheer coincidence. And the other was construction. His house was built in the Portuguese style, which is completely made out of stucco and stone. And he had fireproof shingles. And then his office, which was in the basement, was built up to commercial code, which has much higher fire ratings than traditional residential. So if I was an InsureTech, I might be able to write, you know, my friend Mike's house more effectively than his neighbors two up the street, because I'm looking at the construction of his building and what permits he got and everything that he did to protect his home. So, for example, there's a startup that's in the InsureTech / property tech space called Property Lens. It's actually the founder of Hazard Hub. And his whole idea is that, you know, when a homeowner buys a home, they should know everything about it. Who was the person that did the construction on it from the previous homeowner? What permits did they get? And by knowing that much more precise data, it's possible that InsureTech could, you know, write a home in Maui and be that single home that survived, opposed to the whole neighborhood that burned down. So that's what's possible with InsureTech in terms of underwriting and risk selection, which will allow people that are proactive to get better rates or to get coverage. The second part is actually about protecting our homes or hardening our properties. And InsureTechs create the opportunity for people to understand concepts that are usually only thought of by the construction trades. And the most important area that I'm seeing is the concept of defensible space. So if you think about every home, there's three different layers of your home and what's around your home. First is the physical building itself. Is it built out of wood? Does it have brick, stucco, or some type of exterior finish? Is the roof made out of a flammable material or a material that will not burn? So that's the home itself. And of course, like, there's things that you can do, which is probably the most expensive things you can do to make your home fireproof. The second barrier outside of your home is what's attached to the home. So, you know, it might look nice to have that ivy growing up the side of your house connected to your roof, or to have bushes, you know, connected to the deck that's right in front of your house or in your backyard. But from a fire safety perspective, those things allow sparks to travel between flammable brush material into your house and ultimately to your roof, which is going to cause the entire thing to burn. So a logical thing is to create a defensible space, right? Choose the right types of trees, bushes, or grasses that don't burn as easily. Position them further away from your home so there's more airspace. And the parts of your home that are traditionally the most flammable, treat them and protect them from things that could spread the fire. And then the last part is the surrounding area. So homes exist within communities. There's very few people that can say, especially in, you know, California, Washington, or Oregon, that they live on multiple acres of land without any neighbors nearby them. Of course, there's some, right? But many people don't. And because of that, it's important to be aware of what are the other neighbors in your community doing? And what is the community doing as a whole, right? Is there a right amount of space around from the nearby forest? And are they doing things like having species of plants that are appropriate to the area that can have the right amount of water? Or even, are there trenches that make physical barrier separations between the forest and the neighborhood? And startups, like, there's a company based in California called WUI, can allow homeowners and communities to analyze their properties and determine how to create defensible spaces and bring in the appropriate contractors and landscapers to make that reality. And I think together, between the first, better underwriting, and the second, creating a defensible property and community, we'll be able to use technology to make insurance more available in fire-prone states.
That's great. Just how would this technology go about doing it? Are they going to, you know, go to Google Earth and take a picture from the street and use that information? Are they going to do it from a satellite? How is that actually going to, how is that going to happen? Where does the technology get the data? Where do they get the data to do this?
So the simplest answer is actually directly from an inspector that goes out to a house. So there's three startups that focus on this. WUI is one of them. Laura is another. And the last one is Firebreak Risk. And they have the principle that, you know, your house is a worthwhile investment to protect. So most of the time, agents do inspections of homes. Why not use software that uses machine vision to actually take the appropriate pictures, gather the appropriate data, and be able to make recommendations? So all three of those are doing it on the ground. That being said, there are a number of insurtechs that are able to improve the resolution and understanding of satellite images. So companies like BetterView or Intelligent AI are able to look at the existing satellite data and, you know, whether it could be from weather balloons or other types of cameras, and combine that together and make better assumptions. And then there are startups that actually have their own satellite networks. So GalaxEye and ICI are examples of those. GalaxEye is pretty unique in the sense of what they've done is they're able to allow the satellites to use other types of imaging beyond normal visible light. So think like infrared light or ultraviolet light to be able to see in between clouds. So even if there's something obstructing the view while the satellite's over it, they're able to see in a storm or other types of conditions to give much better resolution of the actual home itself.
Cool, if they can do that. So that's what the technology is available out there. Do you know of any insurance companies that are actually working to incorporate this new technology into their underwriting?
Yeah, so there's three InsurTech MGAs. So for those of you who are not familiar with an MGA, it's basically a company that gets what's called delegated authority from an insurance carrier. So the insurance carrier maintains the balance sheet, but they delegate the underwriting to a third party, which is the MGA, to be able to write that risk. So some of those that are out there doing that, one that was actually in our MGA lab is a company called Green Shield Risk. And they're both a wholesale broker, but they also have their own product in wildfire exposed states. There's also one focused purely on the California market called Delos. So they have a high value home product. They have an admitted product, and they're also launching commercial product. And essentially their idea is to help people in California that are on the government insurance to get off that and shift to a better coverage model on theirs. There's also a company that's called Kettle, and they're also focused in wildfire exposed states. They exist more in the excess and surplus lines versus the admitted market, but those would be some examples of, you know, startups or, you know, MGAs in the space.
Well, that's great. One of the other questions we had, it's not on property, but it's on auto. I think all of our insureds are now sick of us asking, have you tried some sort of tracking device, right, to bring down your auto insurance cost? And I think the insurance companies have adopted that pretty rapidly to pay as you drive type situations. I'm wondering how new technology is coming out on the auto side, and maybe even for fleet, as we're seeing a lot more of our fleet almost need like audio visuals, some sort of camera inside of the vehicles. It's beginning a little bit different out here.
Sure. So a few thoughts on the drivers of these changes, and then I can definitely go into a number of startups that are trying to tackle the problems in auto. So especially on the fleet side, the primary driver of enforcing quote unquote big brother technologies within vehicles is ultimately a response to the behavior, right? So the behavior of drivers now versus 25 years ago is substantially different in the fact that instead of the primary cause of distracted or impaired driving being alcohol or drugs, it's actually cell phones, right? And the problem with cell phones, as you know, is one, it's easily available. Most people have them in their pockets readily. And, you know, they're making chimes, noises, dings, sounds, colors. So it makes it very attractive to want to use it while you're driving. And there are legitimate uses, right? Like using it for navigation or understanding what loads you have to deliver, or what's your next visit for a service vehicle. And because of that, we're seeing the accidents and, you know, ultimately injuries from accidents much higher than they were even a decade ago. So insurers are just responding in kind, right? So the one way to tackle it is people just pay the true cost of the distractions that they feel that's necessary for them to have. Or the other, which hopefully is better, is we have to change the behavior of drivers to be safer and more thoughtful about how they operate on the roads. So ultimately, to do that, there's two different ways, right? One is the big brother approach, which is we're going to use technology to see what you see and make a determination if we believe that you're violating policies or not. So that's definitely one way to do it. The other way to do it is to physically block the employee from the temptation. So, you know, technology is to see what you see, right? So those are things like Cambridge Mobile Telematica, or on the fleet side, there's a company in California called Lifesaver, you know, that sees what you see. They partner with a lot of the technologies themselves, but there's other companies that actually go beyond that. So Lifesaver not just aligns with the technology that's out there, but they actually are blocking the device. So they allow certain applications through mobile device management to be used on your phone or not to be used, so people are not trying to text and drive. And I think between both of those, that can definitely drive improvement. But ultimately, the most important thing here is changing the behaviors, right? So how can you educate the drivers themselves that they understand the risks of driving an 18-wheeler, they understand the risks of taking their eyes off the road, or they understand the risks of just being tired while driving? And actually, you know, before I started InsureTech New York, I started a startup called Zero or TeamZero.com, and our whole idea was driving behavioral-based safety. And there's a number of other InsureTechs that are doing this in factory floors. Like we had one in our accelerator called Quant, which is an Internet of Things device that tracks like how people are moving around in the factory. And I think if we can drive more towards how people think about their work and making decisions opposed to forcing them to take an action because they're being watched, then we're going to encourage better, safer drivers and I think ultimately better, safer companies.
Okay, that's interesting that it's going, getting that refined. Where do you see AI taking the industry in other directions?
I think the biggest change that I see that's happening with AI in the industry is changing the jobs to be done across the value chain. So let's just start with distribution, right? The primary jobs to be done is relationship building and sales, right? Most of the time you think, wow, if you're a producer, you should be going out, meeting with clients, visiting, you know, their offices and hopefully getting them the coverage that they need. But when you actually look at the reality of a producer's life, more than half of the time they spend is on non-value add communications. So it's things that are necessary, right? You know, fulfilling a request for a certificate of insurance, adding a new vehicle on the, you know, statements of values, or, you know, changing a policy to reflect the needs or sublimits of the business as it's growing. But many of those things could be done by a combination of responsive chatbots, better broker to carrier interfaces that take into account proactively the needs of the policyholder before they actually change, right? And, you know, recommendation engines that can help agents to understand key life cycles in a policyholder's life that will ultimately affect when they have an opportunity to cross-sell or upsell them a better or more comprehensive product. So on the distribution side, ultimately, it's going to help agents focus more on the relationship side of things and less on the administration. In the underwriting side, we covered a lot of those in the wildfire, but I think for every peril that's out there, both property side and casualty side, there is a digital analog to them that exists that can ultimately increase the granularity of information about that peril or risk. So let's just take, for example, the liability from slip and fall. Right now, most underwriters are just asking questionnaires to understand information about the facility in order to make a decision, right? But there's startups that are out there like Carpa Data or Neural Metrics that can go and use AI or Gen AI to actually read information about the business. So let's just say it's a hotel and they can read the reviews, they can read information on the website, and they can find out things like this company has a swimming pool or this company has staff that has not the best experience with customer service. And those could be now factors for underwriters that may increase the likelihood of, you know, casualty or liability perils because of correlations between how employees are happy with the business or what types of risks that are not in your normal questionnaires are actually out there. Or, you know, like Neural Metrics, you could actually refill the answers to the questionnaires and then the underwriter just has to validate that. So that's one example. The other example that I think can be even more pervasive is something like you look at financial lines. So let's just say surety. Right now, most surety bonds for construction are only used in large accounts, right? So you're doing construction on a government building, surety bond is legally required. So of course it's going to be issued. But wouldn't it be nice if you had a contractor doing work on your house, redoing your bathroom, and you could put up like $300, $400 for a surety bond just to make sure if they decide to skip town, like you can still get that project done. And it's not affordable to be able to issue a $400 surety bond. Like, no underwriter is going to make any money on that. But if you can use AI to understand the credit risk and reputation of the contractor, it may be possible to actually offer those policies. So it will increase the availability of, you know, certain types of products. And then the last area, which I kind of saved for last because I think it's the most promising, is in claims. Right now, frankly, I feel like the insurance industry is extremely reactive in claims. Claim happens, claim adjuster comes out after the policyholder calls them, and they do arguably just enough to meet the policyholder's expectations to help adjudicate the claim. Imagine a world where you had an AI engine always looking at your policyholder. So, you know, it's in Florida, they're always looking at storms, and, you know, they see a storm's hitting the home, they text the policyholder, hey, did you board up your windows? Like, something's coming. Or, you know, did you have a leak in your roof? We saw with our IoT device that there was water in a place that there's not usually water. So not only are you helping the policyholder to mitigate the risk, but you're also, in the case where there is a potential claim, you're like pre-initiating the first notice of loss, which now gives you, theoretically, the upper hand to help mitigate some of those overrun costs that could happen if a public adjuster gets involved, if the claim gets disputed, or if, you know, the most expensive contractor in town decides to fix the property instead of a reasonably priced one. So AI can fit into all those things to help understand what's going on, make proactive recommendations, and alert adjusters to triage opportunities to help claims not get out of control.
Maybe figure out how to get the adjuster to return the call. That's an important...
That would be a good one too. Yeah. I mean, yeah, there's a chatbot company speaking at our conference that actually handles calls for claims with the chatbot to do the initial triage.
Okay, because from an agent's point of view, one of the biggest issues with claims is, one, they don't return the phone calls, you know, but of course there's always, these insurance companies are always underfunding their claims department and expecting more from them than they reasonably can give. So the adjusters always have way too much of a workload. So that's one of the things. And then having extremely well-trained adjusters who really do understand the coverage and how to get the claim paid.
Yeah, I think all of that is possible if we apply the right technology. But, you know, technology is not everything. If the insurers are not willing to change, they're not willing to adopt what's out there, they're not willing to, you know, pair humans with AI, and they want to just let the humans dig in and keep their jobs, then, you know, it's going to be a lot longer for us to get there than people would prefer or what's possible.
There are a lot of insurance companies that are on the cutting edge of what you're talking about and doing the job. And we know who they are because we do a lot of work with them. There are also companies out there that are lagging behind. And I think that if they don't get on, the other companies don't get on board at some point, they're just going to get gobbled up because they won't be able to compete.
Yeah, Rex, I totally agree. And I think that's one of the challenges that we face every day in our business, is that many of the insurance companies feel like innovation is optional, or, you know, when financial situation gets a little bit tough, they like fire their entire innovation team. And what they don't realize is that ultimately the companies that will succeed are the ones that invest in the next generation of technology when everyone is not, because that's going to give them the advantage. And then when everything is good, they're the ones that really double down, acquire the right companies, and figure out how they can stay differentiated.
It would be good for the whole industry if we can move forward with some of this. I know that the AI is scary to a lot of people. There's a lot of people feel that it's going to eliminate jobs. It's going to, you know, that people will... The computer will create a dystopian world that is, you know, that nobody really, really wants to have exist. But I think that the if it's used right, and certainly in the insurance business, we could use more computing and better computing.
Yeah, I would say to anyone who has fear that AI is going to come for their job, it's real simple. You just go to ChatGPT's website and practice, you know, ask it a few questions related to things in your job and see how it can help, see what limitations it actually has. And I think you're going to get a feel for how things will change, and that will give you a leg up over, you know, some of your team members. And it doesn't have to be, you know, ChatGPT. Obviously, you know, Google has Gemini, there's Claude, there's lots of LLMs that are out there that you can test out and see what you like best.
I think we should encourage our customers to do that, to learn more about it. Rather than be afraid of it, let's learn about it and become better at understanding where the future is going.
At my age,
I remember the digital telephone where I had to, you know, run my finger around every single line, and you know, a pocket calculator was a really big thing. But recognizing that the world has changed and it's going to change even faster as we go into the future, don't be afraid. Just know what's going on.
Exactly.
I think that, and it's going to be beneficial too. We started this conversation with wildfire, and it is a big concern in our area and along the entire West Coast. And if you know you have a neighborhood that's fire wise and has been doing the work, making sure that they get credit and that they get adequately insured at the right price, that's a win, you know?
Absolutely.
Yeah. I know that it would be interesting if my insurance company could figure out, or how do I tell them that I've actually spent thousands of dollars in the last couple of years removing trees and making my property more fire safe. And the insurance company does not, at this point, have any way of recognizing that, short of me sending them copies of the receipts from the arborist for taking down the trees and doing the other stuff. It'd be nice that they could find a way to document that for me and give me some kind of credit for it. Let's hope that comes to pass in the future.
I sure hope so.
Considering the price has tripled in the last 3 years.
David, is there anything else that we missed that you think that you would want others to know about what's happening in insurance and technology?
Yeah, so I mean, all I would say is, you know, we covered a lot of topics on AI and how it's affecting the industry. And you might be thinking, well, where do I even start? So that's why we're hosting our spring conference on March 20th and 21st to talk about the impact of AI and analytics in the insurance industry. So if you're sitting in a brokerage, if you're a carrier, or if you're a startup and you know you want to learn more, you can just go to insuretechny.com and see more about our upcoming event.
Where is it going to be?
We are holding it at Pier 60 in New York City, which is right at 18th Street and the Hudson. You know, always happy to connect with anyone on LinkedIn, or, you know, if you have questions about the space you think that we can help answer, happy to start a dialogue.
Produced by Carver Sound Productions. For more information on podcast production services, visit carversoundproductions.com.